Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Shaiwitz, and today we'll be studying Shoftim, Perek Chaf, Chapter 20. We continue in Perek Chaf with the chilling story that we began in Perek Yutet, Chapter 19. Just to review the things that happened in the last Perek, we told the story of the Ish Levi, a man from the tribe of Levi, who after going to Beit Lechem to retrieve his Pilegesh, he spends a night in the Benjaminite city of Gibeah. Now, the house of his host in the night is surrounded by Jewish men from the city of Gibeah asking for the Ish Levi. And they're not just asking him to visit him or to welcome him. They are looking to have their fun with him, to rape him. And in an effort to appease them, the Ish Levi steps up and throws out his Pilegesh, sends her really to the wolves, goes to sleep, and then wakes up in the morning to find her lying on the doorstep after having been raped repeatedly throughout the night. He throws her on his donkey, and when he arrives home, he cuts up her dead body into 12 squares, sends a piece of her to each person, to each tribe, saying, "Look what happened in Israel." And I just want to mention before we continue with the story that it's not a coincidence that everybody in the story is nameless. And I think there's a few possibilities of what message that's conveying. First of all, this could be anybody. This could be every man, every woman. This may not have been, although this is a horrifying incident and certainly an unusual incident, perhaps the message is that this is representing what is could be happening in every neighborhood, in every city. And I think it also is giving another important message, which is that this is what happens when there is no morality, when there's no justice system. People are dehumanized and people become nameless. But our story is actually far from over. And Perek Yutet ended with a very ambiguous pasuk. V'haya kol haro'eh, anyone who saw, who received this horrifying message from this Ish Levi, said, "Va'amar lo nahaita v'lo nirata kazot l'miyom alot b'nei Yisrael mi'eretz Mitzrayim ad hayom hazeh." This hasn't happened since the day that the Jews have left Egypt until this very day. Simu lachem aleha utzu v'daberu. We need to figure out. Let's think about this. Let's decide what to do. And we're left after Perek Yutet with the question: what will be the result of this conversation? And our parak ends, interestingly, with words that are surprising to see in Sefer Shoftim. Our next parak begins with words that we have really just not seen in Sefer Shoftim. Vayitzu kol b'nei Yisrael, vatikahel ha'eda ki ish echad, limidan v'ad be'er sheva ve'eretz ha'gilad, el Adonai ha'mitzpah. So then everybody, all of Israel, all of the kahal, all of the congregation, all of the Edah, come together, ki ish echad, right? Reminding us of ki ish echad belev echad at Har Sinai, like one person and one heart. But here, all of Israel get together from all the different directions, and they come together to mitzpah. Vayitatzvu pinot kol ha'am, kol shuvtei Yisrael, Bikahal Am Elokim, Arba Meot Elef Ish Ragli Sholef Charev. So they come together. Again, there's an emphasis of the entire nation comes together, all of the tribes, all of the Kahal. They're gathering together, all of them, to figure out what do we do with what happened, this incident that happened in Gibeah in the tribe of Binyamin. So in Pasuk Gimel, they turn to this man, this Ish Levi, who sent them this horrible gift, and they say to him, "Dabru, speak to us. Eicha nehaita hara'ah hazot? How?" And Eicha, again, always resonates with us that something horrible is going on here, but how did this bad thing happen? And the Ish Levi answers them. And actually, what's interesting in Pasuk Dalet, when it introduces the Ish Levi, it describes him as Ish Ha'isha HaNirtzacha. He is the husband of the woman who was killed. And that has become his identity. That's how he's identified himself. And he says, "When I went to Gibeah, I spent the night there, me and my Pilegesh, and Vayakumu Eli Ba'alei HaGibeah, all of those from Gibeah, came against me. Vayasobu alai et habayit laila. They surrounded the house. Otui dimu laharog. They were trying to kill me. Ve'et pilakshi inu betamot. And then my pilegesh, they raped her, they oppressed her, and she died." Now, the Ish Levi selects only certain pieces of the story to tell, and he leaves out his role in the story. There's no telling of him turning to the people behind, opening the door and throwing out his Pilagesh. He's missing much of the story and he's twisting what actually happened. And what's strange here is that there's no drisha v'chakira. There's no searching by the people of Israel trying to understand, well, what was your role in the story? How did this actually happen? Let's find out what happened. And that whole piece of the justice system is missing here. And it's no surprise that in the absence of the justice system, we lead to a very corrupt end. So in Pasuk Chet, Vayakam, again, Kol Ha'am Ki'ish Achad, right? Everybody, the whole nation gets together and they say, Lo Ne'lech Ish Lo Alo, no one should return home. Lo Nasor Ish Leveto, nobody should return to their tent, to their house. And instead, in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayasif Kol Ish Yisrael El Ha'ir Ki'ish Achad Chaverim, they gather together all of Israel to the city, this is Giv'an Binyamin, as one person, chaverim, united in their identity, united in what they are trying to accomplish. And three times they ask Hashem what to do about this war, and it's separated by the fighting. But I want you to actually hear how this plays out inside. So before they go to war, they've made a decision that they will go to war to Binyamin because Binyamin won't send out the people who have done this. They won't send out the Ish Biliyaal, the people who actually raped and killed the wife, the Pilagesh of this man. So first they turn to Hashem. And this is in Pasuk Yud Chet, Ve'akumu v'ya'alu Beit El, that's where they're gathered, Ve'shalu be'elokim, Ve'yomru b'nei Yisrael, Mi ya'alel lanu batchila l'milchama b'nei Binyamin. Who should go first in this war with b'nei Binyamin? And Hashem responds, Yehuda batchila. Yehuda should go first. And they respond by doing this. They go out to war, and 22,000 of the Jews, not the Benjaminites that they're fighting. They're also Jews. This is a civil war that we're talking about, but 22,000 of them are killed. Binyamin is the one who's actually victorious here. And it's, of course, like the question, it demands itself that why did God tell them to fight? This was a war that was based on injustice. This was a war, a civil war, a war that was doomed to fail. And the Ramban actually answers this question very beautifully in his analysis of the story of Sodom in Bereishit Yutet. And yesterday we spoke about the connections between this story and our story and the story of Sodom and the connections in terms of the people's actions. And Ramban says that when they asked the question to Hashem, they didn't ask, should we go to war? They asked about the structure of the war. Who should go first in the war? They had already decided that this war was happening. So Hashem responded to them in the way that they asked. The way that a person wants to go, that's the way that Hashem responds to them. And there's an element here of free will. They've decided that they want to have the war. They turn to Hashem, not with a question of what should we do? They turn to Hashem just with the question of how should they do it? And Hashem responds to them in kind. Now, once they suffered their first defeat, they turned to Hashem again. Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Ba'ya'alu b'nei Yisrael v'yivchu lifnei Hashem ad ha'arav. So they're deflated. They're crying. V'yishalu b'Hashem le'mor. And they ask, Ha'osif l'geshet l'milchama im b'nei Binyamin achi? Should we still fight with Binyamin, our brother? And that achi is again a chilling. This is a civil war. Should we turn again? V'yomer Hashem Alu Elav. And at this point, Hashem says to them, yes, you should continue. And there's a piece, I think, here of they started their journey, they started their battle. Binyamin does deserve a degree of punishment. And also Yisrael has decided the way that they want to handle it. And once again, Hashem responds to them in kind, along with the way that they are reacting. And this time they fight again, but Binyamin again, shockingly, is victorious against them, and this time 18,000 of the other tribes are killed. Again, Chavav, they return to Hashem, Vayalu Kol B'nei Yisrael. Again, I know I keep emphasizing this, but I think this is a critical piece. B'nei Yisrael and Kol Ha'am go back, they go to Beit El. Vayibchu, they cried, Vayishvu Sham Lifnei Hashem, they sit before God. Vayatsumu Bayom Ha'u, and they fast Ad Ha'erev until the evening. Vayalu Olotu Shlamim Lifnei Hashem, and they give Korbanot. And then once again, they turn to Hashem, and they say, Ha'osif od latzeit lamilchama im b'nei Binyamin achi im echdal? Should I continue to go to war with Binyamin, my brother, or should I stop? And Hashem responds a little bit differently this time. He says, alu, go up. And here we have a predictive piece. Ki machar etnenu viadecha. Because tomorrow I will put them in your hands. And that is in fact what happens. And ultimately they kill 25,000 men from Binyamin, ending the war. And if you read Pasuk Memchet, the language is chilling just in the sense of this is what language we'd expect in the wars with Israel and their enemies. But instead, this is the language here of the tribes of Israel wiping out the tribe of Binyamin. V'ish Yisrael shavu el b'nei Binyamin. They went back to b'nei Binyamin. V'yakum l'fi cherev me'ir mitom ad behima ad kol hanimtza gam kol ha'arim hanimtzaot shulchu ba'esh. They wiped them out by sword from beginning to end, people and animals, anything they could find, and in the end they burned all the cities. Now, so much of the language in this story brings us back to the very beginning of the book of Shoftim. Now, one thing I just want to note, even before we talk about the specific language, is that there is language that certainly, and we discussed this before, tells us that this story is not a story from the end of Sefer Shoftim. This is actually a story that happened early on in the beginning, but it's used at the end to tell us that this is where we can find the message of what Sefer Shoftim is all about, what characterizes this generation. And as in Pasuk Chaf Chet, Upinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron omed lefanav bayamim haheim. And Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron, so the grandson of Aaron, Pinchas, the person who was given a brit shalom by Hashem, a covenant of peace, after he stepped up and stopped the plague that happened when they were sleeping with the people of Midian, Moab. So this Pinchas, he was there. But Pinchas there does not seem to have led this leadership direction that he should have. So first of all, it sets us back to the beginning chronologically, the fact that Pinchas is mentioned as being there. But secondly, I think there's certainly a sense of rebuke here, that where was Pinchas? Where was Pinchas, who was taking direction in the right way initially, who knew how to handle, who knew how to handle a rift in Am Yisrael, but also Pinchas, who was told, you have a brit shalom, your goal is to bring peace. And Pinchas is there, and yet we don't hear anything about his involvement in stopping the civil war or directing the actions of the people. So similarly to Moshe's descendants that are mentioned in the story of the idolatry of Micha, here again Aaron's descendants are mentioned, and it's mentioned here, I think, very powerfully to show a lack of leadership here. But there's language, very specific language, that brings us back to the beginning of Sefer Yoshua. And Sefer Yoshua began with these exact words. This is Psukim Aleph and Bet of Perek Aleph. Vayhi acharei mot Yoshua, after Yoshua died, Vayishalu b'nei Yisrael b'Hashem lemor. B'nei Yisrael came to Hashem, they asked him a question. Mi ya'ale lanu el haknani batchila? Who should go first to fight the Kanani, lehilachembo, to fight the Canaanite nations that are here living in Israel? Vayomer Hashem, Hashem responded, Yehuda ya'ale. Yehuda should go up. Hine natati et ha'aretz b'yado. I have given the land into his hands. And in that case, Yehuda was meant, in the initial efforts, to lead all of the tribes in a joint conquest of the land to finish up what was left over from the time of Yoshua. But instead, over the course of Sefer Shoftim, the tribes dispersed. Each tribe looked after themselves in matters of war, in matters of protection, sometimes in setting up some type of ad hoc leadership. But what was really prevalent over the course of this entire Sefer was a lack of unity, a lack of ownership, a lack of leadership. And maybe the blame begins with Yehuda, who didn't take initiative in the beginning to step up and unite the people. Yes, Yehuda went, but he went only initially with Shimon, and they did it in order to help each other, not in order to unite the tribes. Now, finally, in this parak, we saw the unity. We saw the repeated expressions of Kol Yisrael, all of Israel, chaverim, in friendship, in unity, kahal, adat. We saw all these words of congregation and the people coming together. But what was this unity for? This unity was for civil war. This unity was essentially for self-destruction. And I think there's an important message here that unity is not an end in and of itself. Unity is a tool. Unity is an important focus, but unity is important and pivotal only when it's directed towards justice and only when it's directed towards helping others and protection. But here, unity was directed towards civil war and self-destruction. And the message here probably is that in the absence of leadership and in the absence of systems that are set up to protect people, this is what we'll descend to. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmat Frida Bat Moshe Eliyahu.